Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, May 11th, 1979. That's not, I didn't say that by mistake. It's Tuesday, May 11th, 1979. Yeah. So now, today, we are in the exact same position as we were in 1979, but for ostensibly for different reasons. We're 1979, May, June. It was the heart of the second oil crisis. Folks, you remember the odd, even license plate days? Well, that's coming. And, you know, it may also explain this. This image, folks, I refrain from commenting on this image. For reasons, because there's so much wrong. First of all, there's a lot wrong with this whole, the perception of this image. And Eric, the tech, when you have it, just throw it on the screen. What it is for radio listeners, it is a picture of the Bidens with the Carters. Okay. And it's a freaky picture. I don't know. People say, well, it's because of the wide angle lens and, too small of a space, too close to the photographer. Look, I don't know. All right. I don't know. But it looks like something out of a wax museum, or it looks like the Bidens went to a wax museum or part of a wax. I don't know what it is.
Why are the Bidens so big?
Well, again, the question, or why are the Carters so small? But see, Now, this picture got a lot of traction and a lot of comments on various forums and message boards. And people say, well, you know, it's Photoshopped. It's this. It's that. Okay. It doesn't matter to me. Okay. It really doesn't matter to me. What matters is what's happening today. And today is really a repeat, again, for different, much different reasons than 1979. Remember the first oil crisis back in the early 70s, 72, 73. The oil embargo and such. And then we had the second oil crisis in 1979. And that was, of course, bringing back the odd even license plate, for the gas stations. But so that, you know, I've often said that the people behind the scenes, not only are they laughing at us, that's you and I, but they're also telling us what they intend to do. And somehow, some way, because of their belief system, they have to tell us what they're going to do, but they don't necessarily have to tell us directly. All right. But what I'm seeing here with respect to, oh, this holding for ransom, the pipeline is anything but what we're being told. I think this is all about climate change, global reset, World Economic Forum directives, the new green, their Green New Deal. This is about, as well, the intended destruction of the oil gas industry, in my view, based on my analysis. And this is also to get us to take our eyes off of what is really taking place across the country. And that is something that Randy Taylor, HagmanReport.com, and I are going to be talking about here this hour. And again, one more thing, too. This is also, I believe, what we're seeing is the predicate for war between the United States and Russia and the United States and Iran. Iran, a proxy state of Russia, and in some cases, China. You have to understand the dynamics there. So I hear the war drums beating, and I see the salivating globalists for war, really, taking place. And by the way, in case people have forgotten about the gas lines, I do have the picture. There is a picture. This is in the public domain from 1979. This was actually June of 1979 in the public domain. Okay. Now this is during the, oil shortage, oil crisis, or the second oil crisis. Okay, these are the gas lines. And I remember this. Very quick, short story. When during this period of time, I was working in emergency medical services, and we had an emergency transport of a woman who was, I mean, I don't even know how to describe this woman. Linda Blair from The Exorcist probably comes to the closest, and she was in a mental ward in a hospital here in my hometown of Erie, Pennsylvania. And she needed to go to the Philadelphia Psychiatric Center, and we needed to transport her, all right? So I drew the short straw. Now, the rig that we had two gas tanks. And at any rate, we myself and my partner, we took off. It was like 5:30. First of all, when we went to pick her up at the inside the hospital room where she was at, the mental health ward, basically, we had to almost disrobe because the doctor and the orderly said anything that you don't want to have shoved up into any orifice of your body or down through your mouth or up your nose or into your eye sockets or in your ears, you're going to have to take off because she's pretty combative. Okay, so that kind of gives you an idea, right? And this woman was supposed to be sedated for this trip. Well, apparently somebody did not get that memo. So it was a party. Let me just tell you, it was a party traveling from Erie, Pennsylvania to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You can't get further driving across the state. Now, again, this is 1979. Now, just think about those gas lines, right? So even though we had two gas tanks, obviously, and we were an emergency vehicle, you know, light siren, and, you know, big words that said ambulance on it. I mean, you can't really mix that up with a, you know, short school bus, right? All right. So I'm driving and I get to, now this is about 12:30 at night. We get to a gas station in Lititz, Pennsylvania. Or was it Lititz? It was around that area. All right. And it was a truck stop. It had the gas pumps, you know, and there was also a restaurant inside. This truck stop. It was one of the few at the time. I mean, it just seemed like there weren't that many. So I pulled up to the gas pumps, and for whatever reason, they had people there that were actually manning the pumps, which is something we don't do here in Pennsylvania. And the guy said, well, we can only give you $5 worth of gas. Or 5 gallons or $5, whatever it was, which wouldn't have taken us really that far. And I said, no. You see that word on this vehicle? It says emergency medical services. Those words. Well, you got to fill us up. And this younger kid, not younger, younger than me now, but he said, no, you can, we're only going to give you $5 because you're not from this county. And I said, yeah, but we have an emergency that, you know, a patient here that we got to get to the psychiatric hospital. And he said, absolutely not. And so the manager comes out and he said, nope, the guy's right. Nope, can't give you any more than $5. You're not going to find $5. That's all we can give you. Now, again, it's 12:30 at night. I'm tired. I'm grouchy. I got this Linda Blair in the back. You know. So I said, I'll tell you what. I went to the, you know, negotiation. I went to the manager. I said, I'll tell you what we'll do. Come here. I opened the back door and I said, look at her. And at that point in time, I think her head might have been spinning. I'm not sure, or spitting pea soup or, you know, whatever it was. She was doing something that was really, and I'm not picking on this poor woman. But she was screaming and it was, again, it was a party. It was just, wow. I said, you see that woman there? Here's what we're going to do. If you fill us up, we're going to leave. If you don't fill us up, we're going to back this rig right up to the restaurant doors and we're going to let her out into your restaurant because we're not going to be going anywhere anyway. And the guy looked at me and he said, you wouldn't do that. And I said, yeah, we would. And now this woman is strapped down, straight jacket, the whole nine yards, right? So let's back her up to the doors, unbuckle her. We had our gas and we were gone in about 15 minutes. It's coming. The Keystone Pipeline closure. Coincidences. I don't believe in them. 10,000 plus jobs gone. Repeated court challenges to the pipeline all failed. Court systems obviously compromised. Data supported notion that pipeline transport was less environmentally impactful than alternatives. They don't care. Biden administration shut it down anyway. Warren Buffett, by the way, owns or it's donated $20+ million to the Democratic elections for numerous elections, many years. And Warren Buffett happens to own most of the railways that move oil from the move oil from Canada into the United States. Coincidence? You tell me. Yeah, it's definitely all about environmental impact and climate change. With me is Randy Taylor. Randy Taylor, how are you, sir?
I'm very good. Doug, how are you feeling today?
I'm 100%. I'm 100%. Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm getting there.
Yeah. I'm getting there. We're sitting here watching the Democrats get back to business as usual.
You know,
turmoil, high prices, higher, the pharmaceutical prices are going higher, attack on fossil fuels. It's a circus. It's a circus.
Exactly. Now, you know, people talk about, well, Biden's taken 100 and some days, has taken us back 4 years. No, he's taken us back 40 plus years. And,
yes.
And that includes, you had mentioned before you'd come on and we had some time, you know, things heating up in the Middle East. Of course, that's the O'Harris, yep. Obama-Harris, O'Harris, plan for the Middle East. Right.
Well, that's and Biden's always made it clear, just as Obama did, that they're not behind Israel the way Trump was behind Israel. That's one thing that really kept the Palestinians at bay during the Trump administration was that they knew Trump supported Israel.
Right.
And for some reason, these idiot Democrats seem to think somehow they seem to think that coming back to a bargaining table is a key to success. You cannot bargain with the Palestinians. It's impossible. It hasn't for ever since Palestine's been there. There's been failed bargaining. No, there's no compromise. They refuse to coexist with Israel. That's it, plain and simple. So I don't know why these Democrats think that they're going to change that. They can't change it.
Well,
only the Palestinian authorities could change that. And be honest with you, as long as there's conflict, they're making money.
Oh, heck yeah. And
they're making tons of money. Look at what Arafat, yeah, when he died, if he actually died, what happened when Arafat vanished? How much money he had? You're talking about incredible amounts of money being poured into this conflict.
Yep. 100%. And that's
and that's status quo. That's par for the course. And I'll be honest with you, I mean that's what Americans are tired of. We're just done with this.
Well, you know, and that's we are done with this, except for those people who aren't, and those people who think, well, you know what, they blame it on, and tell me if this, they blame it a lot on Israel as occupiers. And you've got Rashida Tlaib. You've got, the squad basically here in the United States doing that. You've got Winken, Blinken, and Nod. Blinken, of course, the Secretary of State, showing how much daylight there is now between Israel and the United States in terms of foreign policy, overturning everything that Trump has done, Trump did in the 4 years. We're spoiling.
I haven't figured out how Israel are occupiers when, as far as I'm concerned, it's their own land. I still haven't figured that out. And if these Arab countries are so concerned with Palestine and the way they're treated and everything that's going on, they need to do something positive. Okay, right now Palestine cannot exist on its own. It really has no gross national product. It has no import.
Define Palestine, though. Define Palestine, because that word geographic. First of all, Palestine doesn't exist, right? I mean, let's be clear, right. It doesn't exist. You're talking about Palestinians and really the territory occupied, yes, by Palestinians, not the other way around. But go ahead.
Okay. All right. I'll leave that one. All right.
Yeah,
I was just using it for to give us a pin mark on the map.
Right.
They cannot exist on their own. They don't know how to exist on their own. They don't understand. They can't have peace within their own people. I don't know how anybody thinks they're ever going to. Hey, lady. I don't know how anybody
something,
ever
it was
thinks,
something you said, by the way. Go ahead.
Yes. I love her. They can't exist. They can't. They have trouble coexisting with their own sect, within their religion, within their own environment. And there's no way that they're ever going to coexist with Israel. They've said it. And I can remember cases, and Doug, I'm sure you remember them too, where they were actually sitting at the negotiating table, and meanwhile, Palestinians were firing Katyusha rockets into Israel,
yep,
during the negotiations.
Yeah.
So how, you know, this is a pipe dream by the Democrats. And I used to suspect, honestly, that the U.S. was even funding Palestine. They claim any money going in is for charity and for feeding people in camps and stuff like that. I honestly think that I've thought it for decades that because we like that conflict, that we secretly fund Palestinian arm, that we arm them. I that's just what I believe. That's a Randy Taylor thought.
I believe we do fund them, but I don't believe it's because we. Well, what did you say? Because we like.
We
them?
Enjoy this conflict.
Yes, that's true. But
we do
follow the money. I think on this one.
Yeah, I would, but I don't know what it is about conflict in the Middle East that these Democrats seem to like. You know, Bush made a lot of mistakes. Okay, so you know, I'll hang some smears on the GOP in a second. Okay, because and you know how I felt about the whole, how I feel now about the whole Bush years. So the entire package was wrong. Okay, we did a lot of wrong things. But they're continuing doing that. Trump was trying to clean things up over there. And you have to admit, he really cut down the death toll of Americans in the Middle East.
That's a very good statement.
I don't know how else to describe it, because was there conflict? Absolutely. But the loss of American life reduced drastically under Donald Trump. And you know what? We're talking about American lives. I can't think of anything more important or sacred in this world, because I'm an American, obviously. So American lives to me are more important than anyone. I'm sorry. Call me a nationalist. Whatever. I'll take the heat.
You're a nationalist and so am I, and that's the way it is.
Well,
that's
I mean, when we do anything, when we've defended this country, Doug, when you're in the military, when you're doing anything, when you put on a police uniform, you are defending American life.
That's right, brother.
And that's what we do, because we're Americans. We're proud of it. And God gave us the ability, you know, you're either sheep or sheepdogs. Okay? Sheepdogs are necessary. Sometimes evil, but I'm sorry, sometimes we can be a necessary evil. Okay? But we have to be there. We have to defend the sheep. And I don't understand. I just don't get why they want this conflict constantly. I don't get the John Kerrys of this world who have been out there operating without a license for years. I don't get the John Kerrys that are trying to prop up this Iranian regime. I mean, it's like they do everything they can possible to bring this to a head in the Middle East, to where it's like they're looking forward to Armageddon. And I don't understand.
I believe that. I believe it's biblical, and I believe that, yes, I think looking forward to Armageddon is, in fact, what they are doing. And I think it's biblical in nature, in scope, and yes, in intent. Because, you know, if you're playing for the end game, in my view, you want to bring forth the, whatever environment brings forth the ruler of the dark underworld, the Antichrist. And of course, you know, you think you're going to get props for that. And that's what I think is taking place. I mean, in the larger sense.
It could be. You know? It very well could be. It just seems like we're living out Revelation right before our eyes. You know, these attacks on Israel, as far as I'm concerned, the blame lies 100% with Biden. I'm going to lay it right on his desk. This is his fault. He's made it quite clear.
Yep.
Trump stood behind Israel. Honestly, the Palestinians were, they knew that Trump backed Israel. They saw that Trump backed Israel, and they probably thought if we really push it with Israel, there could end up being American troops over here. You know, I mean, that's, I'm, you know what I mean? And the I could just picture U.S. and Israeli troops together wiping these people out. You know, they didn't know because Trump was unpredictable in that aspect. And I'll tell you what, to me, that was an admirable trait.
I agree.
Because our enemies would look at him and go, gee, do we really want to do that? This guy just pops off some, you know. This guy sometimes just, he gets mad, you know. And he's so pro-American. And I love him for that. He had a lot of flaws. He did. I think he dropped the ball in some areas. But at the end of the day, he loved this country more than any president I can remember since Reagan. He loves this country. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Nobody can challenge that.
You know, you mentioned Bush, H.W. and George, both, I believe, sold out their countries, in more than a way. Certainly Clinton and obviously Obama never had allegiance. Obama never had allegiance to the United States. And you had Donald Trump sacrifice his wealth for our nation as opposed to making money or, you know, sacrificing our nation for his own wealth. And that's what I like about Trump. But by the way, I kind of want to segue a little bit, because we've got a lot of things to cover. You know, the gas, the pipeline. I want to mention about this because, man, this is going to cause some real severe issues. Eric, the Tech and I were talking about this before. But in addition to everything else, what the consumer price index and the inflation, people are saying, well, our economy, you had Mr. Marbles up there talking about how, hey, things are great. Things are getting better.
Mr. Marbles?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I can't think of a, whatever. But you know, when you start looking at the real inflation here, I just want to toss this out to people. All right. Since the beginning of the year, and this is what the CPI does not include, consumer price index. So the next time your neighbor who's a Harris Biden lover or Obama lover, whatever, who's a leftist says things are going great, you know, look, here are the real numbers. Gasoline since the beginning of the year. I just want to toss this out. Gasoline up 47%, crude oil up 31%, heating oil is up 8%, propane is up 26%. This is just from the beginning of the year. Natural gas up 15%, lumber 70%, corn 54%, wheat up 41%, sugar is up 14%, cotton 12%. Lean hogs up 56% and beef up 12%. And this is only going to get worse, especially with the gas pipeline and the refineries and such. And it kind of brings me back around, you know, so we were talking about the international things, which we have to keep our eyes on. And a lot of times war does stoke the economy for all the wrong reasons, but it does. And I guess my question is maybe, well, could this be part of it as well? So anyway, that's I want
to put it in there. It's because we don't know what's rolling around in that pea brain it is of Biden.
I don't think it matters.
It's whatever his handlers tell him.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been around, and you know, you know handlers, and I know that you love that word.
Yeah.
You love that word.
But he is. He's a trained monkey. Obama was a trained monkey. You know, they just put the hoop up and go, okay, and come on, jump through it.
Yeah.
And that's what we lived through it with Obama for 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
because you watch these decisions and you go, nobody with any rational logic of any kind would be making these decisions.
Thank you.
When 340 or 350 million people's lives depend on it and livelihoods depend on it, you know, it's everything. Look at the southern border. I caught I'll be honest with you, I rarely watch the news. Okay. I honestly, sometimes, but when I was getting ready for the show today, I was watching, Fox, some clips from Fox. And I guess they had started airing them earlier in the day, but they were at the river and the people were just coming across.
Oh yeah.
Unchecked.
Yeah.
Nobody. Coyotes just walking right on in, bringing them in. I mean, I thought we were in the middle of a devastating COVID pandemic, and almost every one of the people that came across that they talked to was from Venezuela.
So answer me this, because I have gotten emails about this, and I apologize for not responding to emails. I do read them, though. Here's my question to you, and I'm going to toss this out there. Why couldn't you and I get a posse together, an old-fashioned posse, you know, Eric the Tech, you know, you too, and get in a pickup, throw a Confederate flag on one side and a Gadsden flag on the other just to freak people out. Let's drive down to the border, let's arm up, and, you know, all of us in this posse, and we line up, I don't know, 50, 100 yards apart, and we line up at the border, armed, and we shoot coyotes. Now, I'm serious. I really want to know the answer to that question. What is stopping us from doing that?
Probably the fact that they would put us in prison for the rest of our lives. This is being encouraged. You got to remember, we have elements within the, because every person that comes across that border, every illegal immigrant is a Democrat vote.
Right.
Don't think otherwise. They're not going to come over and vote Republican. Trust me, ain't going to happen. This is a secure investment for the Democrat Party. It is. It's a very secure investment. They also, ultimately, the perfect population would live and depend on the government for its very survival. Well, that's what they do with these people when they come in. They're handing them money. They're letting them enroll in schools. These are people that haven't paid a dime in taxes. Who knows when they'll ever pay taxes? This is like, what would you call it?
Well, it's
like slaves. They're like slaves. They're like, they're like South American slaves. They're bringing them in. They're going to be told what to do. They're going to work menial jobs. They're going to circumvent the system. They're going to be given social aid whenever they need it. This is the perfect Democrat.
Absolutely. I get that. I get that. But
what? So what's the question?
No, the question again. The question again is maybe that's the. Maybe that picture is not a very pretty picture, and it's not meant to be, but I really want to know, what is stopping the average, or not the average, but the patriotic American male with the intent, look, we're going to secure that border, okay? I'm not going there for target practice. I'm not going there to shoot people necessarily, but we're going to secure the border. Now,
but you just said shoot coyotes. So
if necessary, I guess, you know.
I think, and unless I'm wrong, I think I can remember specific cases. I could probably look them up real quick where we had people that were doing that and they were labeled as vigilantes and were arrested.
Yeah, but and, if we had, yeah, I mean, 10,000 people do it.
Look, I totally agree, but I thought you were talking about, you know, you, me, and Eric.
Well, no, I mean, let's get a significant number. Yeah, that'd be a recipe for disaster, let me tell you.
Yeah, but, even the ranchers. I mean, the ranchers are frowned upon when they defend their property.
Right.
I mean, come on, Doug. If you owned a ranch right on the border, I'd, as your friend, I'd come down there and help you defend it. But we'd also probably get put in jail for taking a pot shot at somebody.
Yeah, they'd have to, catch us first. But here's why I'm getting at all this. I'm really fed up with talking, Randy Taylor. Mm-hmm. I'm fed up with talking.
Mm-hmm.
We either do something or you know what? We're either going to do something to fix this cluster or, you know what? I don't need to talk into this. I'll put this away. I'll go, I'll go fishing. If we're not going to do something, and I'm going to tell you something. That goes to the people out there who have a podcast, who have a channel. You know, Alex Jones, God bless that man. He goes out there and he kicks butt, takes names, Owen Schroer, you know, friends with them and, David Knight and all that. And God love those people. I love them. So they're out there making a difference. All right. Doing investigations and reports. So this is what we need to do. I guess this is my frustration. That's my frustration. When are we going to start doing what we need to do? That's all.
I agree with you. We, the boots on the ground is always more effective. I like watching Alex Jones because he jumps right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
That part I definitely like. Now we do have we have an overabundance of people just talking about what the problems are.
Yes.
And then we also need people that are actually doing something about it. What I do, and we talked about this last time I was on the show, we are seeing some positive things at local level in various places in the country. That's good because I feel that we've had a part in that. We've promoted that. We've been pushing that. School boards, local governments, you know, things are.
Uh-oh. You froze. Can you hear me? Is this thing on? You froze. For our listening audience, radio listening audience, Randy Taylor just froze mid-sentence, midstream. It happens. Sometimes we get interfered with, or sometimes the internet just kind of goes, eh, and that's what happened now. So let's see. Can you hear me? Hello? Randy Taylor? All right, we're going to keep Eric Texas. Hey, you know what? They might have taken him out. Yeah. No, he's kidding, of course. I'm going to keep going here without Randy. Would it be, Eric the Tech, would it be wise to play the video? Because Randy Taylor just spoke about local stuff. And what's happening locally, Maricopa County, we can't take our eyes off of Maricopa County, the forensic audit taking place. People will be surprised about the findings. This is newer, Antrim County, Michigan, and the entire state of Michigan. There's some news on that. Matt DiPerno, who's been working that, just a stellar individual, found some absolutely stunning, his findings are stunning, in Antrim County, Michigan. Now we have, I believe DiPerno with Steve Bannon, or Steve Bannon talking about DiPerno. I've got a film, video clip on this. It's about 3 minutes long, but it's extremely important in terms of its information. Is this, by the way, is this what people are trying to take our attention away from? Because I want to tell you something. I've got a video, screen capture upon screen capture upon screen capture of every single, video from Mr. Marbles or any one of his administration on YouTube. And the ratio of dislikes to likes is just incredible. So you cannot tell me that this man won dog catcher of the United States, let alone president of the United States. This was the most corrupt, the most absolutely, and this is why we're not on YouTube anymore. This is why we've lost a couple of shall I say, affiliates, not quite the right word, and some platforms, because I'm telling you, the 2020 election was stolen by the Communist Party left in this country and outside of this country. But now it's coming to light. Things are coming to light. And you're not going to hear this. Even on Fox, you're not going to hear this. Now, Fox might be better than the rest, but you're not going to hear it there. And if you do hear something on about this in the mainstream media, you're nuts. You're a conspiracy theorist. Well, you know what? I remember back in the 2000 election. Oh, it was rigged. It was this. It was that. And, you know, oh, really? Now we got the – Chris Krebs comes out and says, we had the best election, the most secure election known to man, right? What a bunch of crap. While we're waiting for Andy to join us again, can we roll this? Or okay, let's roll this. Watch this. This is new stuff. You got to watch this. You got to pass this along to your friends. I don't know why we're not. Hey, folks, you got to tell people about this show too. All right. So here, watch this.
One of the heroes of this movement, Matt DiPerno. Talk about a honey badger grinding through. Matt, we had you on the show Saturday. And to show that DiPerno is on this 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, you had a revelation. Your team had a revelation on Sunday. This morning, we leave you at near noon on Saturday. You're grinding. You come up with another revelation after the show. You're back in court today. And all I'm hearing is that there's going to be a drive for a full forensic audit in Michigan, exactly like Arizona, and you've delivered the goods. As non-technically as you can do it, Matt, walk us through what you found, what's the meaning of it, and what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, thanks. I'll try to be as non-technical as possible. So basically what happened in Antrim County is the votes shifted from Jorgensen to Trump to Biden, and Biden's votes disappeared. We later found them in a category called undervote. We did testing on that concluded some testing on the weekend to show that if that actually happened, then the machine would shut down based on critical errors, and the election would shut down. But it didn't happen, and we figured out that it didn't happen because in the background they subverted the critical errors intentionally and allowed the election to continue. That means fraud in the coding process, fraud in the election reporting process, fraud in the results reporting process, and fraud by the Secretary of State in Michigan when she declared that this was the safest election in the history of the country and that this was human error.
Can I go? Are the Dominion people, are the election officials up in Antrim, are they working with you guys? Or are they giving you feedback on any of this? Or is this purely adversarial in court?
See, yeah, 100% adversarial. We've tried to do an actual audit of all the ballots, but they refused to do it. But totally adversarial. And this is because the Antrim County Clerk, Cheryl Guy, has also come out and just parroted what the Secretary of State has told her. They've essentially made her believe that that this was her fault and that it was just human error. And she's done no investigating. But what we now see is that behind the scenes, they actually subverted the election, changed the way that errors are reported, allowed the election to continue, and that's fraud.
Matt, you're going, I know you're getting ready, you got to jump here, but you're going back into court today. Can you tell our audience what's the purpose of going into court? What are you going to be arguing, and what do you hope the outcome is?
Yeah, we're going back into court because the Secretary of State and Antrim County have filed a motion to dismiss the case, claiming that my client, Bill Bailey, does not have standing as a citizen to argue about the election. And we're arguing that in 2018, the Michigan voters changed the Michigan Constitution and added a provision that stated that any person who votes in the election has the right to audit the elections across the state of Michigan, and that that is self-executing. And we believe there's no limits on that. Therefore, my client has standing.
There's talk now about a movement now to get a full forensic audit canvassing and into the machines, just like Arizona. Where do you think we stand in this? And what you found over the weekend, do you think that's a big element to drive this forward so we can get some rectification and that the Republican-controlled House and Senate there will finally have to take responsibility and action on this?
Well, they have to. At some point, they have to wake up. They have to have the courage to do exactly what they're doing in Arizona. We've given them more than enough information, including the video we put out last week. And I've been criticized in some ways because that video, people say, showed us what the machines could do rather than what the machines actually did. And it was a theory on our part. And over the week, we've worked on that. We've now come out today with actual evidence to show what actually happened. We've discovered the actual fraud. It is subversion. And that's a big deal. And our Michigan House and Michigan senators need to stand up and take action.
So that's in our live chat. So I want everybody to share that the finally. Real quickly, how can this audience, this activist audience, the Trump movement, the MAGA movement, how can they help you, Matt, and how can they help drive this to the, make sure the legislature there wakes up?
Yeah, sure. People can follow me at MDPerno on Twitter. They have to get a hold of and call the Michigan senators. The leader of the Senate, Mike Shirky, Ed McBroom, and Senator Bizon. Those are our three biggest opponents, all Republicans. As Professor Clements was saying, these Republicans don't want to do anything because they're all sort of part of the whole system. They've all benefited from this, and I believe they don't want this truth to come out, that these machines have subverted this election and probably prior elections, too.
All right. You can cut it right there. Randy Taylor is back with us, and Randy, you got a chance to watch that. And, everything's local. And I think the people who are listening to this and watching this, if you're serious about taking our country back, make those phone calls. And the other thing too, Randy, and then I'm going to toss it to you, but this really tells me this election, if President Donald J. Trump did nothing else, he showed the world, but most importantly, the Americans, that there is no flipping difference between a rhino, Liz Cheney, and a communist. I won't even call them Democrats. They're flipping communists, and they have subverted. You heard them. That word subverted our election process, the most sacred process in America. And I'm pissed off, and I'm not going to stand for it. And everyone should be equally angry at this. Randy Taylor, go ahead. Anywhere you want.
All right. Sorry about that, folks. Just lost signal there. Then there was somebody in the front yard. I don't know what happened. Oh, weird things happen around here. Anyway.
Ever since you and I got together, weird things have been happening. So,
just bizarre stuff, man. I don't even know how to explain it. Anyway.
Live with me for a while.
You learn to live with it, yeah. But it's like, are you kidding me? Every time you do, I don't know.
Eric the Tech, he's still in a fetal position over there. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
The elections were definitely tampered with. We know that. What's good is that we're starting to see really solid proof. The thing is, we need judges that are going to look at it and actually do something, actually recognize it, because we've said repeatedly, until the election process is fixed, there's no way we're going to have another election that's a legitimate election. You can't just jump to the 2024 and go, okay, well, it'll be fixed then. No, we still, these trips to the 2020 election, these audits, these court cases, these are absolutely necessary so that these deceptions are found out and that these things can be foiled in the future. Once again, back to local level. When you go and vote, you don't go to Washington, D.C. and vote. You vote in your county. Fix it. Okay? Get control of it. Get these Democrat supervisor of elections or whoever's running it, in almost every jurisdiction you're going to look and there's a Democrat in there. Get them out of there. Vote them out. Okay, because those are generally voted positions. Get them out. Okay? As long as they're in there, we will never see correct results. The good thing about these audits is it's letting us know where to look and what to look for. It's going to eventually prompt strong, election reforms. They won't have any choice. And it's not just the five or seven states we were talking about. I think every last state needs to be looked at. Okay, because they're just... There were so many things, and we've all sat around. I'm almost 60 years old, okay? I've watched a lot of elections on TV on election night. It just doesn't jive when they say, okay, the state of Maine pops up, and 30 seconds later, they give it to Biden. Meanwhile, in Vermont, who, like I said, has 8 people live in the state, I got to wait till 3 o'clock in the morning to find out what Vermont voted. There's problems, people. You're not going to fix it in D.C., though. So just forget about Washington, D.C. until we get to 2022, and it's time to clean that toilet out, okay? But if you get a good, solid footing right now, locally, you will see a huge difference in 2022. Huge difference. And the other thing is, you're also sending notice to these ass clowns sitting up there in Washington that feel secure in their deception and their lies and think that they're going to sit there for 20 years as senators, or they're going to sit there as congressmen. You're sending them a notice. And I think that's a great thing. They should be in fear every election cycle of losing their job. Absolutely in fear. And I don't know what it is. Have you guys noticed how quiet Lindsey Graham's been? Has anybody noticed that? I haven't heard a word out of this guy. I had to look to see if he was still alive. We're seeing the Mitch McConnell. Now, there's a guy that really needs to be looked at, too. I mean, look at his wife. I would like to know what all the family dynamic and political dynamics are there behind Mitch McConnell. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't trust the guy.
I agree. And you know,
not anymore.
What DiPerno did say, and I think this is true in every state, the downvotes were affected by the subversion of the machines or the criminality of the people operating them, and I believe that they were the benefactors of many of these votes.
And the whole voting process, and where every American, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, where you should be upset is when they sat there and said, oh, these machines aren't online. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Really?
Yeah.
Are we that stupid as a society that we go, oh, okay, it's because they said, I mean, people. And the Democrat voters, I'm not talking about the garbage sitting in office. I'm talking about the Democrat voters. They should be very upset because they really need to question whether the Republicans that got in office are there legitimately.
Yes. Very good. Thank you. Very well stated, Ben. That's exactly.
This is a point for every voting American. They should be up in arms, yelling and screaming. Don't sit there and be happy just because your candidate got in. Because I'll tell you right now, if there's a Republican sitting in office that got in there fraudulently, I'd like to see him in jail.
Me too.
I don't care what the balance is in the Senate. I don't care what the balance is in Congress. I care about what the balance sheet is for Americans that believe in a voting system. That's the balance I care about. Okay.
Do we need purple fingers? You know, I'm to the point where I think.
Oh, like in Iraq? Yeah. Where it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. And here's the part that really should trip your trigger. Okay. We supposedly went into Iraq too. It's still democracy.
Right. Right.
It's still a democratic vote.
Right.
Are you kidding? We can't vote properly in the United States of America. What did you think for 1 second was going to happen in Iraq? You got 29 women with pink fingerprints, and you're going to tell me that was a success? You know, this is the biggest sham, and the world is watching. The world has been watching. And the sad part is people are so divided on party lines that they're like, Biden got in. I don't care if it was fraudulent or not.
That's right.
And that's sad. That's right. You should be ashamed of yourself as an American. You should be ashamed of yourself you shouldn't be able to sleep at night when you, after looking in the mirror, knowing that families lost loved ones to protect that right.
Yeah.
For you to vote. It's a privilege. It's a privilege, man.
But was it okay? So, maybe this is not even a start. This could be a non-starter. Was it the hatred for Donald Trump, or the hatred for his policies, or the fact that he tweeted mean tweets, or was it really this love for a communist kind of style of a lifestyle here in the United States?
I honestly think that if the media, if we had just for 4 years hadn't had a negative media influence, people would not have hated Trump like they hated Trump. Because the media pushed the orange man bad scenario on everybody so much. And I can tell you this because I have family in Canada. In fact, there was a discussion long distance on Mother's Day. I don't know why I can't call anybody and they have to get into politics. But the person said, and I'm not even going to throw them under the bus. They said, well, Biden's doing a good job. Of course, you know that right away I needed to get duct tape and wrap around my head. And then I said, why would you even say that? You want to know what this person said? And I'm going to flush this one right now. Let's flush this toilet bowl. This person said, well, he goes to church. Now I'm serious. I was ready to explode. Okay. They were a loved one. Thank goodness, because I about blew my top. I don't know where people get this. And this has been a problem with Christianity. When I was a kid, there was like a different version of Christians as opposed to the people that call themselves Christians today and think because they watch Joel Osteen on Sunday morning that somehow they're Christians, or because they go to church makes them a Christian. Let me remind you of something. The BTK killer was a deacon in a church, went to church every Sunday. So the next person that says to me, well, they must be a Christian because they go to church, I will slap you right across your face. Okay. Going to church on Sunday and being a Sunday Christian, even if it's only for 2 hours, does not make you a Christian. Okay? It's a whole lifestyle, man. It's a whole life. It's a whole way of life. And unfortunately, people see that. Joe Biden sitting, which is always funny because he's always sitting all by himself in church. Joe Biden sitting in church.
It's a fear of a lightning strike, but that's...
Even the pastor puts him in the rear. You got to go back there, Joe. We know what the Lord can do. Get in the back. The point that bothers me, and we saw it even with all of them, and I'll throw this at any president that makes a showing like that, doesn't make them a Christian. They have to live like one. And you cannot, most people don't realize that Joe Biden cannot receive communion because of abortion. People don't realize that. And that's no joke. Look it up. Nancy Pelosi cannot receive communion. They're refused communion in their churches, their home churches. I refuse communion because of their stance on abortion. So you're going to tell me that's a Christian? I'm not even going to talk about anything else. I'm not going to talk about all the other foul things they do, the blood that's on their hands. Let's just abortion. I can define the line on Christianity just by where you stand on abortion.
That's a, yeah. I mean, anyone pro
challenge me,
murder.
Challenge me. Challenge me. I'll wait.
Exactly. No, you're 100% correct in this. And there are many other aspects, but that certainly is a defining.
But let's go to a simple one. Let's just go to a simple one that people should be able to answer with yes or no. Yeah. I don't need to get into philosophy with you. And do not quote me Bible verses if you believe in abortion.
Well, I got to know. Now, did you hang up on this person, or did you continue conversing, or did
well, it was Mother's Day, so I may have already blown her cover. Anyway, no, I pointed out some things, and I also told them that they really need to see. Here's another thing up in Canada, and remember this, okay? Right. A basic cable package includes CNN. If you want Fox or say RT News or something like that, you will pay extra. Fact. That's all, and that's all across the country of Canada. Fact. So they've got CNN coming in. They feel like, ooh, I've got some American news. I know everything. Yeah, great. Okay. Drink from that toilet again. Then you've got the CBC, which is the Communist Broadcasting Center. Okay. Their network. People don't realize that Justin Trudeau, before the last election, dumped about $600 million into the media outlets up there. $600 million. Now, why would a government dump hundreds of millions of dollars into the media before an election, except to influence the election? Every station you'll ever see up in Canada, I can tell you that because when I'm up there, I watch, okay? But any stations you see up there are just surrogates of CNN and MSNBC.
Right.
They're just surrogates. They're extensions. They're like franchises. It's that same monotone broadcasting, orange man bad, far right, right, all there, right wing, white supremacist. It's nuts. They're looking at legislation up there right now to control what's on social media by the government, not by the media companies. The government.
Well, Canada, if I'm not mistaken as well, the the Christian pastor, Arthur Pelosi.
Yes. Yeah. The guy that got hogtied and dragged off by the RCMP.
Yeah, I mean, and I had said after I had showed the, you know, him yelling and evicting the health inspector up there and the police, I said, you watch, mm-hmm. The next thing that's going to happen, they're going to arrest him. So that's Canada, but I believe mm-hmm. that's coming in the United States as well. So,
well, see, and that's the thing. We have this bad habit of ignoring what's going on to the north.
Yep.
It's all North. Bear in mind, we're all North America.
That's right.
We're all heading down that same path. We're all in that same war. They're just steps ahead of us. And it's because of the way the government is set up. Indeed. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for putting up with me for an hour.
Well, you got cheated a little bit because of the internet connection. But you know what? We're going to be talking in addition to the show. I appreciate what you do, Randy Taylor. Thank you so much. Gracious gift of time. God bless you, my friend. We're going to talk. Thank you.
Right on.
All right. Randy Taylor, folks, a hell of a warrior, I'll tell you that. A great guy. Going to be right back. Hagmann Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Stay right where you're at.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
And welcome back to hour number two of the Hagmann Report. This is the Hagmann Report for today. It is Tuesday, May 11th, 1979. That's right. Don't adjust your volume or your sets because what's happened here, based on everything we're seeing, is O'Harris, meaning Obama Harris, the regime, has really effectively taken us back about 40 some odd years into the late 70s. I went through this along with Randy Taylor, hour number one. Go back and listen to that or watch that as you wish. If it's Tuesdays, it's Tuesdays with Stan Dale. Before I get to Stan, I want to mention a couple of things. Number one, my book is out on Amazon, The Much Awaited In the Dark of Night. Now, this book almost did not get published. And, it's, I've got to tell you, it is it's intense. Okay. I've already gotten reviews on it. Personal reviews sent by published authors to me saying, wow, you know, it was a great read. It was even though it was 353 pages, I believe it is. It was a very delightful or fast read. I shouldn't say delightful. It was a fast read. And this is about a murder, actually two murders, but, based on actual events inspired by actual events. And the title is In the Dark of Night. Available on Amazon, Kindle, or paperback. Now, on the beginning next, well, on the 17th, if you go to HagmanStore.com, let me just start that way. If you go to HagmanStore.com, you'll see the book there, and we are shipping special copies out, signed, inscribed to whoever. You know, you tell me what you want, and I'll get the book to you. We're shipping them from here. So you can get the book that way as well. However, that starts, we're not going to get the first shipment of books in until the 17th. I didn't realize the demand was so high. We had to actually increase the size of the order here. So that begins on the 17th. So that's Monday. So two ways of getting the book. If you want it real quick, right away, go to Amazon.com. If you want it signed, inscribed by me, I'll get them out. I'll stay up all night and all day doing it on the 17th. And you can do it that way as well. So Hagman Store or Amazon.com. And folks, I would appreciate it because there are people out there who want to see this book because of the nature of the book and the contents. Think, for example, Spirit Cooking, Pizzagate kind of stuff. The stuff that was misrepresented by people some time ago. I mean, that stuff's in here. It's explained delicately, but it's in here. All right. So there are people out there that want to see this book tank. So I'd appreciate it if you give it an honest review. Did you hear me? Honest review on Amazon. Okay. Because there's already flybys right now trying to take it down. So, all right, there you go. Second of all, I want to thank the people who support this show, because without your support, we would not have a show at all. And we are actually doing things behind the scenes to really get things done. For example, working cases with other companies and other entities, I should say, not companies, but entities. And it helps us, your support helps us do just that. So we appreciate that. We also appreciate the relatively hand-selected few corporate sponsors we have, including Lightstream. Lightstream will save you money. I guarantee it. You know, it feels great when you can save money and pay off high-interest credit cards, when you get a lower rate and save hundreds, sometimes several hundred dollars a month in interest payments. You can refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. And again, sometimes it just makes sense. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% with auto pay. That's APR, 5.95% APR with AutoPay, an excellent credit that's lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 18% APR, and there are no fees. You can get money as soon as the same day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Here's what we worked out with Lightstream, the fine folks there. Just for our listeners, my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman. That's LIGHTSTREAM. That's Lightstream.com/Hagman, HAGMANN. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will be glad you did. You'll thank me later and you'll be saving money all the way through the process. All right. Stan Deo has a really great, and maybe today is the day you need to take a really hard look at this. EMP Shield, you know, there's rumblings of war. And you know Iran, you know Russia, you know, I'm telling you right now, one of the targets in wartime, communication grid, our power grid, our just our grid system. Well, with EMP Shield, you can protect your devices in your home, in your business. You can protect your car, your boat, whatever it might be. Anything that runs through the computer network kind of stuff, EMP Shield, you need EMP Shield. Protect your home, protect your business, protect your generator that you paid 10 grand for or whatever it might be. Go to EMPShield.com. That's EMPShield.com. Use code Hagman for $50 off. And there's also, if you want to buy three or more, there's also additional, hey, some people have homes, businesses, cars, boats, you know, so there are times people will order five of these. So there's extra discounts for multiple sales. And I will tell you this, I've gotten so many people who have said, you know what? I'm so glad I purchased an EMP Shield. So EMPShield.com, that's EMPShield.com, code Hagman for $50 off. And again, more for volume discounts for additional three or more units, EMPShield.com. And I want to thank Holly and Standeo, too, for the work that they put into their website, Standeo.com. Standeo.com, the headlines, the hot headlines of the day, as well as every Tuesday they have show images. Stan works very hard to put those up and really delivers a great presentation. So with that, Stan Dale, welcome to the show.
Good to be here this evening. We've had a day of news, haven't we?
We have. And I thought of you watching the stuff going on in the nation of Israel and everything that's taking place there, the mosque over there and such. I was thinking about you and I was telling Eric earlier today, I said, I can't wait until Stan comes on. I want to get his take on everything, that and more. So it's up to you. Take it for wherever, or take it wherever.
Okay. All right. Well, the EMP Shield need that you addressed is definitely on the table at the moment, the need for it because of the situation developing in the Middle East and here internally in this country. The solar input to plasma discharges, to CMEs, to flares. This is becoming problematic in this solar cycle. I have said from the very start that this solar cycle is going to probably be a very busy, active one for emitting stuff toward the Earth. 3 days ago, there was a flare, a very large flare, in fact, the largest flare of this 25th solar sunspot cycle. And Eric, if you could put up the picture on slide 58, it's actually a short animation. I'm just clicking on it myself. This animation shows this flare that occurred on the 7th of May. And you'll notice it puts out a shockwave that goes across the surface of the sun at about 540,000 miles an hour.
Wow. There you go. Look at that.
Now, that's just so far the biggest one, and they're expecting a lot bigger. If you go over to slide 60, you see the picture of the sun as of yesterday evening, at the 10th, and you'll see that there are three active regions on the sun. These are the three most active at the moment that are moving into position that are like Earth-directed if anything comes out of it. And to the right of it there, the right side of the picture, you see all those hairy little lines coming out of those bright spots. Those are the magnetic fields. The field lines connect, you know, north and south areas on the sun. Watching those, especially the top left one, we can see it's a very busy series of magnetic fields, which are like little sub-sunspot type things in that whole flare area there. And they go around to the backside of the sun, which is going to be around facing us within about 8 days. Okay. Now, the sun, I've always contended, is the major driver in our climate, whether it causes drought or, you know, radio failure, or, you know, communications failures or what. Now, in slide 59, it links to an article. You can certainly link to the picture illustrating the thing that a super plasma discharge from the sun, you know, it's kind of like a CME, would affect our power structure all over the planet. We've established that for, you know, years. And what is now in a report from a chap who's been studying the magnetosphere of the Earth in its decline, you know, its weakening, and stellar systems that are close to us within 4 or 5 light years. And what he has found in his report is that the potential for the United States, well, for the Earth in that matter, to have a super flare, this plasma discharge, the likelihood of it is that in the summer of 2023, that's just 2 years from now, that we'll have this super magnetic plasma burst that will include the Earth. It doesn't even have to hit or be aimed directly at us. When this plasma discharge occurs, he's seen it in these other stellar systems close to us, it goes out like a shockwave throughout their systems. To quote the guy, he says, "It is my firm opinion that the magnetic reversal is more severe than the grand solar minimum could ever be." That's Dr. Morello, because new research suggests that the combined effects of a weakening magnetosphere of the Earth and a powerful plasma discharge from the sun could be due in as little as 2 years. Now, he does say it could be done, but this is analyzing the current behavior of the sun, neighboring stellar systems, some close to our age, you know, as far as our sun, and how these flares have occurred and the periodicity of them. And we know that we're due for a super CME, like the Carrington event of 1859. We're due for it now, in fact, overdue. So with this guy's reports and what we're seeing at the solar observatories, it's a time to get prepared, to have your emergency supplies, your food, water, and that kind of stuff that Holly talks about there, prepare. And also to get your electronics, you know, communications, radio, so you can hear the news, your refrigerators and things like that that depend on the power of that coming through the grid. Get those things protected by the EMP shield on your breaker box. And if you're one of the fortunate people and forward-thinking people that has invested in auxiliary power, standby power, you know, a generator like Generac or solar panels, or even wind generators, you need to protect those as well because they will be supplying power after the EMP pulse hits. So you want to protect them with an EMP shield so they'll keep working even when the grid is down. And if you've got neighbors that have this and you don't, see if you can make a deal with them to be able to, you know, take things over to be charged up like car batteries or several car batteries, in fact, and you can get yourself a little inverter that you can plug into these batteries and take them back home and run radios and various other things for an hour or two and see if you can borrow or trade for power from these people. I know everybody can.
And that's a great idea. So there's an image on folks on your screen, if you're listening to this by way of audio by Global Star, certainly go to HagmanReport.com and pull this up. What are we looking at there? The EMP shield home protection, is that, just so for people who don't know, can you describe what we're looking at there?
Sure. There are two types of breaker boxes, those that are mounted flush to wall, like on the right, in a finished area of the home, and those that are in the basement or garage on cinder block or on wooden struts or things like that. We make the same unit, same circuit, for putting it in either place. Now, the one on the left doesn't have that little flat wire with the two LEDs coming out like the one on the right. The one on the left, you can read the status of the system, see that it's on and working by the two green lights on the EMP shield. When it's filed away inside of a flush-mounted circuit breaker box like on the right, you need occasionally to be able to check and be sure everything is working, especially after an EMP falls. And so you look to see if you got the true green lights, which are communicated by a flat wire coming out underneath the panel facing and into a little thing that sits on the side, kind of neat and attractive and not ugly like, you know, having a big box sitting out there in a finished room. As I say, both circuits work fine. And the other day we had a question from an electrician that was installing a EMP shield on a Generac for a lady. And they were concerned because, you know, when they put the EMP shield on the Generac, which is not on all the time. It's only on when they turn it on or on demand, kicks it on. They didn't get any green lights on it. And I said, well, yeah, of course. The green lights tell you when the current flowing through the device is protected. If there's no current flowing through it, you're not going to get green lights. So if you're one of the people that worried about not seeing green lights on your Generac, it will be green when it's actually supplying power to your house. So I just wanted to throw that up. It's probably a common question.
And it's my understanding, Generac, I just want to throw this out there. I believe Generac generators are tested once a week. They go through like a 5-minute cycle. And so the green lights should be on during that 5-minute. When the generator is running, should the green lights be on?
Yeah, well, the generator's right. Okay. It should be. There'll be power there to supply the EMP shield, and it needs power, you know, show the green lights. But it's always working, whether or not the generator's on. It is protecting. It's just the indicator lights are only on when power's being supplied.
And the last question, just to be clear, if you have a generator like a Generac, as well as your normal circuit breaker box, you need two EMP shields. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, you need one for the breaker box of the house, and you need one for the EMP or for the generator, because it's not always connected. It's two power lines. The live, active, and neutral. Correct. They are not always connected until you connect the generator. So they're kind of freewheeling out. They need to be protected. So you have to have two.
All right. Thanks for answering those questions. I appreciate that. All right.
By the way, I got a notice. I'm not sure how long it lasts, but they've got a contest on a drawing at the EMP Shield Company for, I think it's three mixture of any kind of EMP shields, three of them if you win the drawing. So you might just check the website at empshield.com and see how you register for that drawing. That's, you know, $1,200 worth or more of EMP, $900 to $950 worth of EMP shields that you could get for free if you win. Anyway.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Back over to our show images page. Speaking of questions from listeners, in slide 56, if you click on the slide, you'll see that the sun is not solid. It's a gaseous ball, right? And as such, it spins quicker at the equator than it does at the poles, the north and south pole, and you can see the difference in timing. Now, most of the sunspots that we see occur just above the equator, and where it says 26 days, it's somewhere in there. So the average time for sunspots, passing around the other side of the sun and coming back, is about 27 days on average. But by using this, and this little graph here is when I look at what's in slide 55 to the left there, it's how I estimate when these active regions are going to be Earth-facing. Because in this picture, the sun rotates from the left side to the right side, and there's a big gap on the right because that satellite failed. But these three areas of brightness here are what we're seeing now and what's coming around the what's called the eastern limb, even though it looks like it should be west. It's really called the eastern limb of the sun. And so I can say, well, looking at the eastern limb there, and that's, just about equatorial, maybe a little bit below it. How many days is it before that's going to hit? Well, then you see that down below, it's how many degrees there are between there. It's about 95 degrees. And so if you then go back to the rotating thing here, you can say, okay, it's near the equator. Well, that's a 25-day for a complete one for about a fourth of that. So those should be around in a fourth of 25. So it'd be about 6.5 days. And then that those things on the eastern limb will be facing us. In this case, it's going to probably be about 6 days, and it'll be facing us. So if you see a hot area coming around, it gives you a little bit of a heads up. Like if you look at, behind me here, I've got the Earth with the solar flare type stuff, going around it and through it. And if you were looking at that very active area on the left of the green graph there, it's a heliograph, you would say, well, okay, I've got about 4 or 5 days to be sure I've got an EMP shield installed and it's working and emergency supplies and communications, that kind of stuff. So this is just an indicator that I use to see how much time we've got. It's a kind of an early warning system just to help us prepare when we need to. Yeah. Another interesting thing, too, as I said at the opening here, we have drought all over the planet. It's not just in the United States. And the drought is only part of the the problems we're having with the sun and its emissions in various areas and frequencies. It's making some areas which are traditionally wet and moist and good growing, it's making dust bowls. You know, this has happened before, the great dust bowl here we experienced in the United States in the early 20th century. But if you look at slide 57, at the text is telling us that the Earth is at about 1.2 degrees centigrade, okay, above the, what should be the normal on average. And you'd think, well, 1.2 degrees centigrade, you know, big deal. But if you look at the article, when we get to 2.4 degrees centigrade above the average, you know, at the beginning of the industrial age, what we're going to see is huge, like wind storms and lightning storms and droughts and floods in different places that they usually are. A 2.4 degrees C change in our temperature of the planet, if it went down, would throw us into an immediate ice age. 2.4 C going up is gradually like cooking frogs in a pan, and you know, where they're in the water boiling, slowly bringing it to a boil, and then it's going to just kill us. All of our crop and growing and our water sources and lightning storms and like huge wind storms, land decays and, you know, tornadoes, everything like that comes when we have this huge influx of energy from the sun. And it doesn't turn on like a light switch, but it's going up to this point. And, you know, in the next decade, or next, you know, this solar cycle, we're going to see, I think, which is about 5 years from now, we're going to see huge weather problems all over the planet, climate changes that, you know, we've never seen before. So,
but it's not man-made, not caused by man. It's caused, as you say, it's all sun-related. Is that right?
Yeah, well, look at the picture on slide 57. There's a thermometer that kind of shows you how they're trying to, in the Paris Agreement, how they're trying to bring our greenhouse gases down so that we can re-radiate some of the heat. And I think surely that the reason that Gates and others are kin-friending the planet is trying to reflect a lot of the incoming energy away to help. Now, that's not reducing emissions or anything. That's just reflecting the energy coming in, because it'll stay here. And it'll stay here because of certain types of gases like, you know, carbon dioxide and things that may be in a larger percentage than normal. But this, again, is not due, except maybe like 6% or so, to human activity, to industrial activity, to animal gases and things like that. Just an interesting thing to see. It shows an effort in the Paris Agreement to try to legislate so that we can reduce the greenhouse gases. But again, if that's only going to reduce the problem with the sun 6%, you know, okay, good luck. Right. Look down slide 52 at the picture, at the map of the United States. They're not talking drought. They're talking mega drought. And the brown areas there, probably that kind of tan area, those areas are our breadbasket. That's where we grow the majority of the food for us. And certainly in California, like 35 to 40% of the fruit crops and food that we get grown is there. Cattle, beef, all that kind of stuff. In that brown area, if that's impacted, which it is, in a mega drought right now and worsening, then people over in the eastern states are going to see food prices rise. Of course, all over the country they will. But we're in a serious situation here. The farmers are warning about it in the text there. You know, there have always been droughts, but this is a mega drought. If conditions there, say the farmers do not radically improve, we're going to have a major agricultural disaster on our hands. Some farmers have already decided not to plant their crops at all this year because they'd just be a waste. They'd burn up and, you know, dry and blow away. But many other farmers have decided to plant anyway, knowing that if enough rain doesn't come, their crops will certainly fail. So they're gamblers. You know, we're in strife. You've got to be getting your food supplies, good investment right now, because if the food supplies are going to go up, you know, at the market, you're going to need to have spares at home if you can't afford the new prices.
Yeah.
We know that food prices are already rising.
They are. Now, I'm okay about this map. I'm just curious. I'm not even sure how to ask this question, but why are these areas? What were the criteria? What is the criteria? Was the criteria for selecting these areas for drought and for drought removal likely or development likely? Why these areas? Based on what?
Well, they've checked all of the areas of the United States. This is just the result of their checking about the soil dryness down to a certain depth and average temperatures, humidity, relative humidity across these areas. There are a number of factors they put together, and it forms this map automatically. It's just science.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I didn't know. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Drought. Only one of the problems we're facing. Certainly we've got others. The earthquake situation at the moment in slide 53, you can see the current status. You'll always see a bunch more clustered around the west coast of the United States because when I print this map out, I print all the earthquakes over 2.0 up to whatever for the United States, you know, and Alaska as well up there, that part of the United States. The sensors at USGS can only pick up between a Richter 4.5 and 5 on the rest of the planet. They're too far away for our sensors to be accurate. So that's why we see more on the United States than we would, say, around New Zealand or north of there in the Kermadec or whatever. So what you're seeing here is earthquakes in the last week that have been on the average 4.5 or greater. And you can see there's a lot of activity on the fault line connecting New Zealand up into the Kermadec region. You know, that bigger circle there, that yellow one down there, is about a 6.1 to give you an idea. The west coast of South America is certainly still active. Japan in that area is very active, and we're starting to see larger quakes, not to the threatening ones, but larger than the average small ones in Alaska around the Aleutian Island chain. Indicating to me that, all right, earthquakes are starting to be a little bit stronger and a little bit more prolific in these areas we've seen before, but they're getting more of them. Volcanoes. Slide 54. Click on the picture. Now, I've taken out of the video that you can link to and see this is a town in Iceland, and in their backyard is this volcano that's not like throwing out chunks of stuff, but it's magma flow. And how would you like to live in one of these apartment complexes and out in your backyard, this is going on? I mean, you know, it's going to turn you into a stone garden of some sort very shortly if you don't move, you know, unless they can spray water on it, freeze it up a bit or, you know. Yeah. Anyway, property values might not be highest in those places of late, but oh, Lord. We are at war. We are at war with China, with Russia.
Yep.
This fuel, you know, shortage because the pipeline got hit. That's down to slide 39, the Colonial Pipeline. This has hit, you know, a lot of states, you know, 5,500-mile-long trail from Houston all the way up into Delaware and to, you know, the northeastern coast of the United States. Already, the gas prices are starting to rise. You can see here why it's significant in the article. But what is really bad news is that they've now made it public, as you watched earlier today, that Russia, you know, the black cyber attack is Russian group in Russia, and they're protected by the Russian government, even though the Russian government doesn't tell them, officially anyway, to go and attack U.S. pipelines or whatever. But they have a very sophisticated method of being able to lock down the computers of any company, you know, especially power companies that want to, and demand a payment or an action that would allow them to send to the affected company or companies a release code so that their computers would now work and they could control the flow of gas, gasoline, you know, electricity and that sort of stuff. Now, you know, if you extend that, they could hit our power network. And that's not with an EMP pulse. That's just hitting the computer network. So this could delete your power very quickly or make it very minimal. Should they do that? Just a number of reasons for you, if you can, to have your own standby power of some sort, even small amounts. You don't have to have these $30,000 solar arrays. You can have a number of small solar panels feeding a little inverter you can buy online that will turn it into electricity for your devices that you need to power, you know, urgently, like food stores or radio communications, that kind of stuff. We're at war, and this is a what they call a gray war, when it's not actually shooting at each other, but it's allowing things to be compromised in your opposition, which we would be to Russia. And I'm sure the Chinese have their equivalent of these black ops, you know, over in Russia.
Do you find the timing of this coincidental? I mean, when I say coincidental, I don't believe in coincidences. I don't know. You know, the Keystone, this O'Harris regime, Obama-Harris, not Mr. Marbles, but, you know, the puppet masters, shut down the Keystone pipeline. And they've done a lot. They've declared war on the, really on the oil and gas industry in this country. And we went from being an exporter of oil and gas, which just, a couple of years ago, a year ago, under Trump at least, to now a full importer because of this. 10,000 jobs lost. I mean, I can go on and on and on. So this happens, and now the timing just kind of, I don't know. I'm not liking the timing, Stan, on this. I just don't. It's not that I don't believe, you know, what's going on with respect to this gray war. I just find it that really interesting the timing of this.
It's beyond interesting to me. I see the beginning of a shooting war coming shortly, but this is to weaken us before they do that. And we're talking not years, but maybe months, but certainly weeks. Things are heating up so quickly in the Middle East, and I'm going to cover part of that. But not only is Russia, you know, one of their kind of pampered hacker groups, not only is that affecting us and been testing us for weaknesses, but the Chinese have. And the Chinese, you know, IT warfare group, very, very good. They are very bright and very clever. And they are already testing us in various little locations, seeing if they can hit a power company or gas, or, you know, all these kind of things. In slide 48, and the picture just enlarged to show the Communist Party and, you know, how they had a meeting there. But in the text, China is already engaging in irregular or like a gray zone war with the United States. Experts say a China war, not just a simple one, is already well underway with the United States. Many elements of irregular warfare, such as psychological warfare, legal warfare, and cyber warfare, are central to the PLA's, the Communist Party's, conception of information warfare and its theory of victory in a conventional conflict. The Modern Warfare Institute gave this analysis and argued this point. Beijing's military has a name for it, the three warfares, public opinion, morale, and legal processes. All are manipulated to achieve Beijing's end. So public opinion, if you get onto the internet and they control that, put out a bunch of garbage, you know, to sway public opinion, let's say, to a Democrat position, a socialist position in the United States. That's one form of warfare they're using on us. And morale, you know, okay, accenting things or even telling lies about movements within the United States and the value of the U.S. dollar and stuff like that. It's lowering the morale of the people. So it's lowering our resistance, you know, our will to fight against the Chinese coming in. And then legally there are processes in progress with trade agreements and, you know, and bans and, you know, patent challenges, things like that. They can sue our people for using their own patents if the Chinese have made a slight adjustment and have their own patents to override those. Just a lot of things in those three areas of warfare, and public opinion and morale are huge, huge. You don't know when you're being fed garbage out there. The news that you read, okay, we've got Chinese troops coming in the north and Russians in the south. If you check these out, they're all bogus. But unless you check them out, you think, oh no, we're being invaded. You know, it's over, and you lose your will to fight. And it's very effective. Now, also understand that China doesn't treat Russia or any other country as a true ally. China is for China. And they follow Sun Tzu's rules of war, and in that they're going to get Russia, the European Union, the United States, all other countries to fight amongst themselves. While in the meantime, China does a little bit, but not a lot, letting the other countries weaken themselves in shooting wars and intelligence wars and IT wars. And when these other countries are just on their knees because they've spent so much energy and money and power in, trying to fight with each other, that China can just march in and take over the energy in the Middle East. That's why the Chinese have been having these skirmishes, here we call them, with India in the Himalayas up there, is because the Chinese want to have access through to the Middle East by large rail trains to take troops in and to take oil back out from the Middle East. They intend to go down and take over the Arabs, Israelis, everybody in the Middle East, in the oil fields, kicking out the Western nations. That's the long game for China, and it will come later at the time that we see the Battle of Armageddon. That's at the end of the tribulation period, though. In the meantime, these movements amongst their non-Chinese nations will be accelerated, be adding to the confusion between all the Western nations. Anyway, they're coming for us, and they're here.
Man, I'll tell you what, it's not a pretty sight. I'm looking at that article, and that's right on the money. I mean, how do you think the Biden regime, you know, Mr. Marbles and company, the globalists behind him, his handlers, the puppet masters, are dealing with the China threat at this point?
Well, that's an interesting question, because as far as the generational Illuminati, if you wish, of the planet, they have always had trouble getting China to join with them and their global, you know, objectives. China has placated them, but, you know, they aren't really amongst those that are going to sign on to the New World Order. They're going to be against the New World Order. And that's why they will invade the Middle East, where the New World Order, you know, the headquarters is somewhere there in Europe in that area. And there will be that final conflict there in the Megiddo Valley called Armageddon. So they haven't been able, the Illuminates haven't been able to quote to the Chinese, to kowtow the Chinese into behaving. It's really going to be China against the rest of the world soon.
Well, thank you for that. I know these are dark times, but I just want to introduce a little visitor to the studio, Theo Eric Stock. This is Theo. Theo, say hello to everyone out there. This is Eric the Tech, his little buddy. He spent the night with us last night, and he's a good boy. So this is Theo.
Hello.
All right, Theo. All right, there you go, bud. All right.
Well, along that vein, we have about three or four nests of finches that visit us each year. And we've just seen 10 of the 16 babies hatch and fly away in the last 2 days. So our population of local birds has increased.
Nature's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, you got to marvel at nature, at birds and dogs. I mean, you know, but I don't know. Everything except cats, but that's just me. Here come the emails. All right.
Yeah, you got to get emails. All right, now back to serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sweden, that's the slide 46. Their Secret Service disclosed last year that the Islamic Republic of Iran seeks Swedish technology for its nuclear weapons, the weapons program. Iran, China, and Russia are Sweden's biggest security threats. Now, so they're not going to be buying Sweden's technology. They're going to do it by skullduggery. Iran also conducts industrial espionage, which, you know, China's been good at, but Iran's now doing it, mainly targeted against Swedish high-tech industry and Swedish products that they use in the nuclear weapons program. So they're getting some of the best stuff out of Sweden, but again, by intelligence and spying. America has been asleep so long. I mean, they've been lulled to sleep by those trying to take us down, so that we aren't even aware how many people from China, Russia, Iran, wherever, have invaded us quietly and become established in our industries and society, and people would never know that they're sleeper agents. And they're just all over the United States in all kinds of activities, especially in the government and in the military to a degree as well. Coupled with this, this thing with Iran getting more technology for its nuclear weapons, in slide 47, right next to that, Saudi's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman struck a conciliatory tone towards the kingdom's arch nemesis, Iran. So in other words, Saudi Arabia and Iran are shaking hands behind the scenes. They've been doing this since January. And in 2016, I forget what part of the year, but anyway, in 2016, that was only like, five years ago, roughly, Saudi Arabia and Iran split ways because of their differing views of Islam. The Iranians being more terroristic and the Islamic side for Saudi Arabia being more peaceful, like the Shia instead of the Shiite. But anyway, the fact that Saudi Arabia is now chumming up with Iran and America is supporting Iran and the whole Middle East is a mess. Saudi Arabia is trying to make a consortium of Arab nations, which is already done to a degree, but to include Iran, you know, and make a new peace in the Middle East, you know, controlled by Saudi Arabia and Iran trying to piece it together. But this is going to be dangerous because if the United States is not protecting Israel anymore and the Arab nations under the Saudis and Iranians get together, they are going to be able to attack Israel with impunity unless Israel or the good Lord himself stops this attack.
Man. Okay. Yeah. Is this not, and okay, so back in the early teens, well, 2010 actually, and even a little bit before that, but especially in the era of Obama, wasn't there a power shift through the Arab Spring to kind of make this a reality, what you just described a reality, and then President Trump got in, and then that kind of it lost ground, and now with the O'Harris regime in there, Biden, it's going back to this Iranian-centric power center, or am I mistaken on this? Or doesn't, you know, it may not even matter.
It's moving that way. There's no question about it.
Okay.
Holly addressed some of this, a lot of it, in fact, in the Prudent Places book, in pages 415 through 417. She covers not the Armageddon War there, but the
perils that Prudent Places.
Oh, sorry, Prophetic Perils. It was a P word, Prophetic Perils, her book there. And she addresses that there will be two skirmish wars before Armageddon. And one of them will be where the majority of Arab nations all gather together against Israel and start to march with their troops toward Israel. And they will be destroyed with a rushing wind and fire that will just wipe their troops out and send them back home with their tail between their legs. Now, it's covered in a couple of things. Here, let me see if I've still got that here on my desktop. I don't see it. Just give me a second. Anyway, the book names a bunch of the nations that would be involved in this with their modern names, you know, tied to the biblical names for these nations that would be attacking Israel. And the reason I think that we're going to see a peace treaty in the Middle East is because Israel is going to be forced to defend itself. And as I say, I don't know whether it's nuclear weapons or some kind of a fire weapon the Israelis have detected or perfected, or whether it's an act of God that wipes the invading Arab troops out as they kind of come in to take over Israel. But Damascus, I think, will fall in the process of that, become a ruinous heap overnight. That's up in Syria there. Whatever causes it, this is going to reshape the power structure in the Middle East, and people all over the world are going to want a peace treaty with Israel. Don't rock the boat any longer. Don't attack the Arabs with more nuclear weapons. We'll make a peace deal with you. What do you want? I think this is what's going to force the peace deal, and Saudi Arabia and Iran definitely will be the major players having to sign that agreement to protect themselves because Israel, they know, has the technology now to really wound them and to destroy them if necessary. So I think that's what's going to cause this peace treaty for the 7-year period the Bible speaks of to be signed. And I think that day is going to be very close, maybe even this year if they attack each other this year.
Mm. Man, wow. Oh man. Well, you know, on your, at standale.com, folks, definitely visit that. The headlines are prolific there. Holly does a great job. I don't know. She never sleeps. Neither do you, Stan.
I get more sleep. She does, believe me.
The under prophecy, you know, all eyes on Israel, as Jerusalem becomes a cup of trembling. There's that, and of course some other pointed stories. So and you mentioned prophetic perils. All of Holly's books, including Dare to Prepare, if you haven't done so already, I would definitely grab anything Holly has written, produced, whether it's in a DVD or a book form. Go to standale.com and also get Cosmic Conspiracy by Standale. And I got to ask you this real quick. This is something that has been bothering me all day today, and I want to ask you this. I'm going to ask you this on air. Is your Patreon meeting this week?
This Sunday? Good question. It's third, I think. Let me just check the calendar here. Give me a second. Patreon meetings.
Yeah, I apologize for putting you on the spot.
Be. I'm just...
If it's the third Sunday, it would be this week.
Okay.
Okay, so, right?
Yeah. Let me just get in there and see what we've got here.
And the reason I'm asking
is... Well, yeah, I haven't announced it yet, but I think you're right.
Okay.
I'll check with our producer.
All right. I wanted to be very, careful because on the 2nd of May, I was like, dog sick, okay, you know, seeing monkeys and stuff like that. So, we didn't have a Patreon meeting. And then, of course, last week was Mother's Day. And, happy Mother's Day, Holly. We pushed it to the 16th, but I don't want to impinge upon your time. So we can either change the time or something, but I just wanted to check on air with you. So people who are listening to this, folks, just keep an eye on HagmanReport.com or the Patreon page, and we'll explain it. Because, I don't want to mess with Stan's Patreon schedule. And, by the way, if you haven't signed up for Stan's Patreon, it's fantastic. So I just want to alert
you. Yeah, we'll check off air with Rhonda and see so we can schedule the time. Mine usually goes from 6 to 7 p.m. Mountain Time on Sunday. And I do believe the 16th is our... Yes, is our next one.
Okay. Well, we'll work it out, folks. So, definitely, it brings me up to, if you're not a Patreon of Stan and Holly Dales, definitely sign up because it's well worth it. And, it's always fun I go back to the Coke ball or the pickle jar. It's just amazing. All right. Enough of that. you always please. I mean,
it's fun. It's great. A bit of, what do you call it? The mad professor of science. I forget who was on TV. What was his name? And white hair and everything. Mr. Wizard or something like that. Yeah, he used to have really cool presentations.
Well, minus the hair, that's Stan Dale on Patreon. So folks, definitely support Stan and Holly and become Patreon members. Okay. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Where are we here? That was, we covered that. How much time we got here?
Eric the Tech. We got about 11 minutes.
All right.
So.
All right. Talking about some of the interesting things. It may not be, world news at the moment, but I found when I was looking for news this week in slide 43 that lady that studies, trees and how they work and that kind of stuff, discovered what's called the Wood Wide Web. Now, she has found that underground connections in a forest are like a brain that allows trees to form societies and look out for their kin. In the article, it talks about the tree roots in these forests. They go out and then they are connected by fungi that connect the tree roots so that if you hurt a tree, it's going to go all through the network, bang, like, in all directions at once. So I'm now being nicer to trees than before. You know, I say, oh, look, I'm going to have to cut this branch off and stuff. But they're sentient to a degree because they're forming like a community. And it's like in Lord of the Rings, you know, the trees do talk to themselves. And they know when you like them, I think. Weird, isn't it?
It almost makes me want to go out and hug a tree.
we got to do that.
Well, you know, I believe that God created this planet, and I think there are so many things that we don't know, but I can see that in a sense. I can see where it's a living thing, so, you know, there's that. And but about the wood wide web, very interesting, very catchy, but I don't okay. Yeah. I shouldn't use trees as target practice, and I guess that.
No. Well, I had to apologize to one of our elm trees out here that goes root structure down 20 feet or so, because I had to drill a little bolt into the bottom of it to hook up our ground wire to the solar panels and stuff so that we have a really deep ground, you know. And I was easy about it, you know. Didn't damage it much, but I did say, okay, I'm going to have to drill you.
Oh, man.
You got
okay. Well,
all right. Now, another kind of so what type of topics here that I put up because it was of interest to me. In slide 45, if you can get that picture up there, Eric, The British marine archaeologist claims to find evidence of King Solomon's maritime empire. He says that he has found evidence of the existence of the biblical King Solomon, and that he was indeed the wealthy and powerful monarch described in the Bible, saying he built a maritime empire through an alliance with the ancient Phoenicians. Now, if you look at the bottom half of that picture you've got up there, just scoot it up. Yeah. When I talked about Solomon in one of my lectures, I did say that I found Solomon's three trading places where he got gold from. Now, the problem I see with this guy's analysis, he puts the gold supply in southern Spain for, you know, the mines of Tarshish. And I did an analysis in that lecture about the fact that wherever Tarshish was is that when he traded with them using the ships of Phoenicia or Hiram, that every 3 years that he would come to Tarshish, from Tarshish, bringing gold, silver, ivory, and apes, and peacocks. Now, Spain doesn't supply those kind of things. So it has to be someone that has gold and silver and these, you know, ivory, apes, and peacocks. Now, I looked at the word Tarshish. You know, Tarshish is two words. It's Tar and Shisha. Hookahs are, you know, called Tarshishas, because they used to smoke black tar opium there in Morocco, which is just south of Spain, across the gates of Gibraltar there. They traded for gold and ivory and all that kind of stuff, but they also had dope that they got from Morocco, and that's why they called them the ships from the mines of Tarshish. I think the gold came from various places in Africa, but it was traded there in Morocco. So I sort of disagree with the guy here saying, you know, it's not quite Spain. It's just a little south of there. If you follow all the clues in the Bible, and they are certainly there. The trip one way from the Mediterranean coast was 2,300 miles. And at 5 to 6 knots to 6 to 8 hour day, the round trip would have been about 4 months from Israel going over there trading and then turning around and sailing back the 2,300 miles. And in those days, they probably would have traveled along the coastline, which would have made the trip longer because they didn't have deep sea navigations, nailed down. So they felt safer traveling along the coastline. Anyway, that's my trivia for the day.
Interesting.
Tarshish. Yeah.
I'm actually still looking at that. And, yeah, I'll go with you on that. How can we correct this man? Let's give him a call.
But I'm finding it interesting that they're now starting, you know, in various places to say, yeah, you know, King Solomon did exist and his gold mines were here and there. They still have yet to find the ones in Madagascar and the ones in India. near the Karnataka district. But there is biblical proof for it. And in the lecture I gave on Solomon, it's, which is a CD, or, you know, a, what do you call it, a flash drive as well. But in that lecture, I did explain in detail where the gold mines were, simply because I was tracing things in relation to the location of the Garden of Eden, and it came up in that discussion. And then a few other things I addressed as far as the name King Solomon, because in Hebrew, the king that we're talking about was Shlomo, which is far cry from Suleiman or Solomon. There was a king, Solomon, Suleiman, in the Arab legends before King Solomon of Israel was named by his mother. And she followed the history, you know, the legends of Shalmaneser the Great, second and third as well. So there's some overlap, I think, between the legends of Shalmaneser, Shalman the Great, and Solomon, king of Israel. So there are things still to be ironed out about that period of time. But anyway, we're doing it bit by bit.
I think your legacy, and I'm not blowing smoke or anything, but I think one of your legacies is going to be the Garden of Eden. And I mean, that's a big thing. That's going to, I believe that'll be the linchpin to really prove a lot of the biblical history of the Bible. If you know what I'm saying, I think every day there, more recently, we're seeing things that's validating what's written in the Bible. Not that the Bible needs validated, but you know, I think that does help bring believers, create believers. But anyway,
if nothing else, it will strengthen the faith of the believers now, there, because you're saying you can prove that the Bible record is history, not myth. And so that's why I started finding the Garden of Eden, and then eventually that Atlantis was where the fallen ones took the children of Eden, and they were crossbreeding with them to form the chimeras, you know, the hybrids that were like, Hercules and the one-eyed giant and stuff like that. It was important to trace, you know, to track down Atlantis and connect it to Eden, the location of Atlantis being, you know, most of the Saudi Peninsula, when it was a peninsula at the time. And that's also in that CD that I have on that, or DVD, sorry, DVD.
And folks, if you haven't seen that, that's very much, very much worth it. I mean, Christians and non-Christians alike, but Christians especially, definitely go to sandeo.com and click through to the CD, Atlantis, Garden of Eden. A lot of great, or DB. I did the same thing. DVD.
Yeah.
A lot of great stuff. So thank you for that. Okay.
Very quickly here in slide 51, I won't detail it, but in slide 51, after being on our space station for 23 years, the Russians are planning to leave the space station and build their own, and saying that it's, you know, it's too cramped and stuff. And, you know, I'm looking at it as the Russians are getting out of the space station because they're going to be, the space station is going to be attacked by some process, and they didn't want to risk the lives of the cosmonauts for that. You know, it's another clue in this game of chess about the war between Russia, China, and the United States. It's just a sign that something's happening there. And then the Chinese, of course, they were boosting up to make their own space station. That's how that booster rocket fell on, you know, the Indian Ocean. They're building rather rapidly a space station, and it's going to be inhabited and operated by Chinese astronauts very shortly. I mean, like in weeks. And that gives them the ability to target our satellites, communication satellites, to put dust in orbit in certain layers and cause all of our communication satellites to be hit by grains of dust at 17,000 miles an hour, but some of them in counter orbit at 34,000 miles an hour. So they're getting positioned to hit out our orbital communications, GPS, and communications as well. It just underlines the fact that we're about to get hit really hard.
Stan, we're basically out of time. I want to thank you so very much for putting up with me, my interruptions, and the time I spent overtaking your time. But I appreciate everything you said this week. And the message takeaway is get ready, because it's going to get bumpy, I believe. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Stan Dale, my friend, thank you so very much. May God bless you, and I hope you're well, along with Holly, and we'll be talking with you.
Thank you, Doug.
All right.
We're listening now. Bye-bye.
Folks, that'll do it. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so very much. Don't forget, hey, Amazon, In the Dark of Night. I'm telling you, it's a great book. It's a great read. Let me know what you think. Have a good night.